And welcome back, hour number two. I'm Jeff Rentz. Dr. Ernest L. Martin, among many other things, has supervised over 450 college students at the most significant archaeological excavation ever conducted in Jerusalem for 2 months each year for a period of 5 years, and his archaeological educational program was featured in the education section of Time magazine as well. He has written 8 major research books that are advertised internationally in archaeological and theological periodicals, and over 600 planetariums around the world as well. He is a remarkable man. We are very honored to have him with us tonight. His book, The Temples That Jerusalem Forgot, is, I would consider to be one of the most important books in a long time, dealing with the Middle East and what is causing the continuing strife and grief there. Dr. Martin, has anyone ever put together a computer simulation in terms of video of what ancient Jerusalem might have looked like based on your research?
We are at the very moment, Jeff, doing that, and the preliminary runs that I have seen are spectacular. I hope to have it ready in a introductory manner in just about 2 weeks' time.
Oh, wonderful. In fact,
I am attending a meeting of theologians in Nashville at the SBL meeting. It's the Society for Biblical Literature, where about 8,000 university and college and seminary professors meet, and I'm a member of that organization, and I'm getting ready to show all of this to the people there, the various professionals, and I will have a simulation of how it looked in 3D digital at that time.
You're going to knock them out with that. It's going to
I hope so. We really, all of us really need to start looking at this matter because it's a very serious one, simply because of the contemporaneous events that are taking place. And I actually feel that once this information, this historical, geographical, and archaeological information reaches all of us in the world, particularly the professionals, that it will cause many people to think twice before fighting over holy ground that's not so holy.
Well, some people would say, Dr. Martin, right away that, so what if it's not where we're at? It's the principle of the thing.
Well, that's what they say, but in this particular case, I'm afraid that you talk to many people in Israel, for example. I mean, even Prime Minister Barak and others have made the statement that the Wailing Wall, which they consider to be a part of the Western Wall of Herod's Temple, and I am saying it's actually a Fort Antonia, and I'm sure we can prove this without any doubt, but they are saying that that's the heart and soul of the Jewish religion.
And
it really should not be, you know, and it isn't really when you get down to it. But when people's emotions begin to run pretty wild, I'm talking on all, not just Jewish, but Muslim and Christian, all of us, we find that these geographical areas become very, very important to us.
What would happen if these people were able to read your book, look at the video coming in a couple of weeks, sit down with you and be convinced that they are wrong, what would happen?
I think that it would take some time for it to sink in, to be quite honest, because we have been going in this fashion for about 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, Jeff, Mount Zion being on the southeast hill, which you will find in all Bible atlases now, every Bible atlas has it down there, Zion, and along with it should be the temple. But do you realize that that was not even solved until 1875, just a little over 100 years ago? If you go back 200 years, people were arguing in England and France and even in Jerusalem and various other places. That's where Mount Zion was, and they placed most of it on the southwest hill of Jerusalem, which is a half a mile away from where it actually is. Now, it should have been solved, this matter of the temple, back there 125 years ago. But most of us, including myself, got our minds just centered on the Haram al-Sharif, that is the square rectangle building that's up there, which is Fort Antonia, and we've equated it with the Temple Mount, and it's become like it's chiseled in stone. Jeff, it's just that solidly engrossed in people's minds. I remember I was on a trip from London to Tel Aviv, and I was talking to a very distinguished gentleman who was dressed like a Jewish rabbi, and we were having a very fine talk, and I mentioned to him that he asked me why I was going to Jerusalem, and I mentioned a little bit about this theory. He looked at me straight in the eye and said, "Preposterous. Completely preposterous." Mm-hmm. And you know, his response was not something that was unfamiliar to me. Mm-hmm. I would have said the same thing myself 10 years
sure.
ago.
Yeah, I understand.
But this is the problem. It's going to take some time for this to sink in because it's so revolutionary. It really is. I want people to read my book. I have sent it to some of the top authorities, both in Israel, with the Muslims and Christians. And I'm trying to present it to all of our scholar friends, you know, coming up here in about another 2 weeks' time.
This is going to be a very exciting conference. What are the Muslims so wrapped up in that particular location for? Help our listeners who don't know. What is their claim, their historical religious claim to that very same territory?
Well, this is the very interesting part. No claim was made to the Haram al-Sharif, that square building where the Dome of the Rock is, until the Muslims invaded Palestine in 638 A.D. That's 638 years after Christ.
That's a long time.
A long time. And they weren't really interested in the rock, which a little later was built over the Dome of the Rock was built over it until the end of that century, the 7th century.
Mm-hmm.
But once that happened, then we find the domed building over it, they began to think that that was the stone where maybe Abraham sacrificed Isaac. As a result of that, it became rather important to them. And the Muslims, mm-hmm. step by step, began to have superstitious folklore and association with that rock to the extent within 200 years, that rock now had become the site of what they call Muhammad's night journey.
One of the holiest places in all of Islam, yeah.
In all of Islam.
Now, there's no historical precedent for it.
It's the Kaaba, which is in Mecca, is the central shrine. Then
right,
Medina.
Sure.
But now the Dome of the Rock and the rock itself has become the third holiest shrine in all of Islam.
Okay,
now,
but this is traceable back to the 7th century as in terms of its origination. You can actually do this.
Definitely, without any question. We have
right.
historical records that are clear on that.
Right.
But in the 200 to 300 years that followed that, the folklore that got established with that rock is phenomenal. I mean, they then had Muhammad in this night journey, which is mentioned in the Quran, to the furthest mosque, and there have been arguments whether or not that ever was Jerusalem. But anyway, the tradition mm-hmm. finally centered on Jerusalem and on that rock. And there is a cave that is located on the southeast corner that you can walk into. I've been there many times.
Mm-hmm.
And that cave, according to Muslim tradition, now get this, it happened because when Muhammad and his horse, Baruch, were going into heaven, the angel Gabriel was accompanying them and lots of other of the prophets, so the story goes, and the rock, mind you, wanted to go into heaven with them. Now, the rock began to ascend, and it got up about 6 feet in the air and then stopped, and we find that Gabriel's hand stopped the rock from going, and the cave that you see there now is a result of the rock falling back somewhat, but not going all the way back. Now, that is the type of tradition
right.
that we have with place after place after place
mm-hmm.
in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether a person wants to believe it or not,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, is crazy in my view. I mean, it's insanity, you know, mm-hmm. to think anything like mm-hmm. that. But let's not blame the Muslims. We Christians have as many stories associated with places down there, which mm-hmm. are complete fiction, and the Jewish friends, too, they have them as well. And what I am attempting to do is to bring all of us back to rationality over these matters. And I have no problem itself with the original documents, the New Testament, the Old Testament, even with the Quran. But it's the traditions and the folklore and the superstitions that have developed since those times, supplemented primarily by individuals, holy men, having visions, trances, and revelations that have created a complete nonsensical geography for Jerusalem.
Fascinating. Well, on your homepage, and you can click on the link right below Dr. Martin's name at the top of my homepage, and you'll see an artist's rendering of what the temple looked like, and an enormous edifice, as we have been discussing here on the program. So the Dome of the Rock is not over the temple.
No, it is not. In actual fact, the Dome of the Rock is over a former Christian church, which I have fully documented. It's so clear, it makes me wonder why we haven't seen it before. Yeah. There was formerly a church there. It was called the Church of the Holy Wisdom. Mm-hmm. It was built in Byzantine period, about 200 years before the Muslim invade, 150 years before the Muslims invaded. And it was to cover that rock on which they felt, the Christians at the time, that Jesus' footprints were found when he stood before Pilate in the praetorium as he was sentenced to death.
At that very rock.
At that very rock. And they said that they could show you where Jesus' footprints were. Now, that was in the praetorium. And you know, Jeff, the praetorium means Fort Antonia. And clearly, even when you take the scriptural reference, which is called the rock or the pavement there, that was the rock that the Dome of the Rock now covers. And it was formerly a Christian church raised up in the Byzantine period, and that the Islamic people at the end of the 7th century turned into a Muslim shrine.
Wow. Wow. What a history. All right. This is very illuminating, to say the least. Hope you're enjoying it, and we'll take calls a bit later. We've got some more ground to cover with Dr. Ernest L. Martin, his book, Extraordinary, The Temples of Jerusalem Forgot. Click on his homepage link right below his name at the top of my page, which is rents.com. Go there and take a look. Lots of things to see, and we'll continue right after this.